Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
This is a show where we talk about things we like that's good, that we like them, and we're into. It's a podcast by two marrieds like
yeah.
us.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
Do you have any clue as to what our son is going to be for Halloween this year?
Wow. We've kicked around a few ideas.
I brought up a few things with him, but he doesn't seem committed to anything yet.
He doesn't, which is surprising because it's almost the end of September. I feel like typically mid-July, we're already, emailing with Spirit Halloween.
Last year he was Sonic, right?
Last year he was Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the video game series Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
And the books. The novelizations of Sonic the Hedgehog and the films. We've had, some classic stuff from him. I feel like this year we've talked a lot about Ash Ketchum, who he calls Ash Ketchums, which is great. It reminds me of the Key and Peele sketch.
Does he know that you have also been Ash Ketchum for Halloween?
No, I did. I was, wasn't I?
And in fact, I was Pikachu and I was pregnant with him.
That's right. And people brought up a lot of sort of confusing imagery that we had maybe introduced into the Ash Ketchum's Pikachu's.
I bet pregnant Pikachu.
Oh, yeah.
Will get you some stuff on the internet.
I think pregnant Pikachu will, buy a carton of milk at the grocery store. I bet you there's lots of results for that one. I bet you Ash Jeeves is like, oh, this again, huh? No problem. I have a macro set up.
The thing we have noticed that's really kind of frustrating about the world of Pokemon, at least what we can access here in the Western part of the world, is that a lot of it is for adults.
Yeah.
And it is difficult to find clothing items and costumes.
So frustrating.
That fit a child.
Henry really wanted a Pokemon jacket. And I was like, no problem. Nintendo, you got me? And Nintendo was like, I got you.
And I was like, you specifically.
What about my small, wiry son? And they're like, we don't know about that. Can he wear a big shirt like pajamas? Anyway, thanks for nothing. We got there, though. We did get Henry a Pokemon jacket that he loves and a pair of Pikachu headphones. And together, when we had ordered them and he knew they were coming at the end of the week, he was like, I can't wait to get my hands on that Pokemon drip. And that made me feel so proud to have a son like him.
Yeah. The other day, I believe he was wearing a few pieces of Sonic outfit, like a hoodie and a shirt or something, and he did refer to it as his drip.
I love this. I didn't teach him that. That's great. Of course I didn't. I know you didn't, so that's great.
No, I don't know that I've ever heard you
refer to drip
as an outfit choice as your drip.
No, I mean, if anything, for me it's more like droop, am I right? You have a small honor. Hey, you got any small winners?
I think I can address this here.
Okay.
And that is my enthusiasm for The Golden Bachelor, which is coming very, very soon.
Yeah,
I've got a lot of fingers crossed for this one. A lot of what I have found to be challenging about the franchise, I am hopeful will not be present in The Golden Bachelor.
Yes.
And I can return to a franchise that once brought me so much joy.
I think maybe that's tonight, actually. Or maybe
is it tonight?
Was last night. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am cautiously optimistic. I'm not optimistic. I don't think it'll be very good, but we'll watch it. We have dipped into, let's say, a bit of senior romantic programming this year between Love Village and Love After Divorce.
We mentioned this last week, I think.
I don't know that we did in the context of, we've talked about our dalliance with Korean reality television programming. Yeah. Love Village, I believe, was a Japanese show. But it is a different spice when the people are, a older set than you get the Bachelor franchise typically. So I'll be curious to see. I mean, these people, they got their priorities are different. They're at a different place in their lives.
Hopefully they can handle their liquor pretty well at this point.
You would hope so, yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
You know how sometimes on Bachelor and Bachelorette, they'll bring out like an old person from the limo and then a young person will come out and be like, I got you. This is my grandma. I wonder if we'll do that in reverse. We're just like,
oh, that's fun.
A young woman will get out. No, I feel like if a young woman walked into the house that the Golden Bachelor lived in, she would be destroyed summarily by everybody else that is there. That would not go down smooth on that.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you that enjoyed when we did Rose Buddy, for a long time, we also enjoyed it. And I do yearn for a time when I can talk about a reality show similar to that, you know, and feel okay about
it. Oh, I'll talk about Love After Divorce all day long. We just polished that bad boy off last night. Season finale dropped on Sunday. I'll go ahead and make that my small wonder. Here we go. Backdoor. it turned out pretty good, I think. It certainly, the pace was a bit slow for my
Well, it's not finished yet.
It's not finished, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah. So
we don't even know.
We are now a special surprise.
Yeah. We are now caught up so that we are not able to access the newest episodes yet. We have to wait.
We're watching it weekly every Sunday when new episodes drop.
We made the assumption, like a lot of people would, I think, that the show ends after their exciting week in Cancun. But there seems to be the suggestion that they will live together and we will watch that too.
Which is great. That show, if you didn't hear us talk about it the first time, a bunch of divorcees live together in a house and go on dates, and some of them fall in love. We got a few successful pairings out of the set,
and they very slowly intentionally reveal information,
which is cool.
So like at a certain point the show runners will decide that they can tell each other what their age is
How many kids they have, which is a big one,
which allows you to play along at home
and
think like, all right, I'm gonna guess that this person
really was fun, because we were quite wrong.
We were always wrong on pretty much
every single point of data. Like, oh, that guy's 27, I'm 46, what the fuck. That person's got maybe no kids.
Although I think
three kids.
I think we were pretty right on who had kids, though.
I don't think so, man. There were some surprises in there. We're not going to spoil it for the folks at home, but I'm enjoying that show. I can't wait to watch the people be taken out of this environment, this paradise of Playa del Carmen.
I think what I will say about the Golden Bachelor that is not present in a lot of the other reality shows we've been watching recently is that kind of like producer manipulation. And I am hoping that happens less with people on this show, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, reality TV, it's popping. You go first this week.
Yeah.
Survivor also starts back up this week. You know, I follow a lot of Survivor contestants on Instagram, and it's just so exciting to watch everybody a buzz with excitement.
Do we know, are there any like new gimmicks or twists? Or
they all get knives?
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah. Also, Jeff has started to say guys again.
That is a very specific joke
that the Survivor head, I know there's probably for a lots very of specific Survivor heads out there.
Oh, I enjoyed that. Thank you.
Thanks. That's a good joke. What's on the plate today? I'm hungry.
I wanted to talk this week about leggings.
Leggings. I have no feelings about this.
You are one of the few people that can say that.
Okay.
Few places I can start. One thing I will say is that obviously during the pandemic, when I didn't have to go in front of people very often, I chose comfort, and often that meant I chose leggings.
Okay.
And now it is difficult to choose anything else.
Are you describing the ensemble you're wearing right now as leggings?
Yes.
I guess I don't know what the difference is between
when we were
leggings
kids,
and tighter pants.
They were called stretch pants. Does this seem familiar to you, or is this maybe a regional thing?
I mean, when I was a kid, most of the pants I wore did stretch. And so...
Well, there's sweatpants, which are looser, and then there's a legging, which tends to cling more.
Yeah, it's the cling, I think, that does it for me, or rather doesn't do it for me on me, does do it for me on you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The other thing I will say is that now that I have actually started to participate in fitness, I appreciate the... utility of leggings.
Oh, I bet.
in that I am able to move my body in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And also, for a curvier woman, the thigh rub is non-existent with the legging.
Interesting. I don't think about that.
I didn't think about that either. One time when I went to the gym, I wore just regular shorts, and I got, not regular, like a street short.
Yeah. Rachel rolled up in her street short and her deck.
What's up?
You guys use the internet?
I'm picturing like those like Bugs Bunny Taz graphics where like uh-huh. the hat's on backwards uh-huh. and their street shorts.
Oh shit, hide your vape. Here comes street Rachel.
No, I'm talking about an athletic short, but like one that like doesn't provide any kind of like thigh protection. And when you're running, like you do get a little chafing.
Yeah.
You know? And so anyway, so the legging, not just comfortable, protects you while you're running.
It does sound valuable. Mm-hmm. That is an issue for me. Why exercise is like down there. Yeah, it's a mess.
You were talking about the lining and yes. how the lining is useful to you. It's a similar thing.
I like the support I receive mm-hmm. from a street short lining. Just to sort of like contain the zone.
Yeah.
So I can focus on my rowing and what have you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So leggings. I probably should have realized that if I was going to talk about an article of women's clothing, I was going to end up talking about how people had opinions about it.
Okay.
There was a lot, like 2010s, I feel like, is when people started really talking about leggings and whether or not it was acceptable as fashion.
To wear like out in the,
yeah.
out in the world?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. There's this whole like... I don't know. It's interesting because I find myself like feeling insecure about it too, of this idea of whether you can wear athleisure in the world and it's acceptable if you are not participating in fitness. And then like reading this article, so Vox did this article in 2019 called A Decade of Leggings Controversy Explained.
Oh, that's great. service journalism. That's inspiring.
Where they talk a lot about like just the general policing of women's bodies, sure. and how this kind of represents that, where people are suddenly very obsessed about whether or not leggings are appropriate. And then you kind of realize like, why is this even a yeah. topic?
And I feel like I remember this conversation taking place sometimes before COVID. And then when COVID happened and nobody saw anybody for two
That's
years,
very true.
Nobody gave a shit anymore.
That's very true. And a lot of it, too, is just kind of the advances in leggings.
Okay.
I read about kind of in like the 2010 period when you started seeing like leggings like $3 for $10 at like a Wet Seal or a Forever 21. They're very cheaply made. And it was like you would stretch them and you could basically see through them.
Okay.
And so there was a lot of like concern among people about like whether or not girls should be able to wear them to school because they're stretchy and you can see
stuff, sure.
little iotas of skin and
yeah.
You know. But the dawn of leggings, from what I can tell, are you buckled in for this?
I'm just imagining one ape strangling another ape with a pair of leggings and then all the other apes like jumping up and down in like a primal celebration.
There is like a world of fashion that I am obviously very disconnected from. And so whenever you talk about a fashion trend, there's always people that can like pinpoint it.
Okay.
Apparently there was a Vogue photo shoot of Edie Sedgwick, who was like one of Andy Warhol's
yeah, sure.
big models and was an actress, and she did a photo shoot in leggings.
I feel like I know this photo shoot.
Really?
I feel like if I conjure an image of Edie Sedgwick in my head, there's just one, and it's this mm-hmm. photo shoot. It is yeah. It is somewhat iconic.
And then the 70s, it was like Olivia Newton-John in Grease.
Sure.
The 80s, Olivia Newton-John again.
In Grease 2.
Well, in a fitness context,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I don't think actually she was in Grease 2.
and then the phase I mentioned where all of a sudden it was like you could get leggings super cheap at
yeah.
like mall stores and whatever. And then, of course, athleisure blew up. And then like every celebrity had their own line. Like Kate Hudson obviously has Fabletics. And then
Obviously. Everyone knows this. If you had asked me, Griffin, what is Kate Hudson's athleisure brand called? I would have, of course, said Fabletics.
Beyonce, I guess, had an activewear line in 2016. Reebok had Gigi Hadid.
Wait, Beyonce had a fitness wear line?
She may still. I don't know.
I was going to say, it doesn't seem like Beyonce has failed projects that are out there.
There's any number of celebrities that, you know, have their own type of leggings. Selena Gomez was in there.
Right.
Just a lot of people. And it became just a really kind of like a fashionable thing, like a
Does
trendy
Selena Gomez
thing.
Have a sweater line?
And then, yeah, I mean, throughout all of this, people are like just issuing their concerns about leggings. A lot of them, as I mentioned, was in schools.
Sure.
You know, any kind of like dress code, you know, is usually designed in a way to isolate some group of people.
Right.
But what is awkward and terrible is when these people are called to defend their decisions.
Yeah.
And you realize just how like poorly constructed they are.
Yeah.
So, for example, in 2013, a California junior high principal called an assembly of 450 girls between the ages of 12 and 14 and stressed to them that they were not allowed to wear leggings without a dress or skirt over them. She later told ABC News, "When girls bend in leggings, the threads spread, and that's really when it becomes a problem."
That's so clinical.
Just to see people
and
like...
that's where the issue lies.
There's another example. A Republican state representative from Montana made headlines when he said that yoga pants should be illegal in public.
Okay.
And attempted to redo his state's indecent exposure laws to prohibit any clothing that, quote, gives the appearance or stimulates butts, genitals, pelvic areas, or women's nipples.
I mean, I'll decide.
Yeah,
what
right.
Stimulates What's my stimula- butt. What stimulates my. Hey, guess what? JNCO jeans stimulate my butt. Got you. Loophole, Congressman.
2017, there's the big story. United Airlines, you probably remember this. United Airlines barred two young girls from getting onto the airplane because they were wearing leggings.
Jesus Christ.
Which is supposedly in violation of a dress code that the airline wrote specifically for its employees and their children.
And it's their children?
Yeah, so that was
Why
the thing.
Why did United Airlines get to decide what...
These two people, I guess, were children of employees, and when they
Jesus
fly for free,
Christ.
They have to, like, wear a certain...
What a creepy hill to die on, United.
I know. And then, of course, like, Delta came out, like, we don't care
we
about,
don't
like,
care.
You
get
know,
fucking
like...
nasty.
Yeah, and then like a lot of like college, like, you know, there's always been this issue about like college kids dress too slouchy when they go to class, and we need to be training them to be professionals in the world.
Oh,
and they should
whoever gives it, no one gives a shit.
I don't know. And you remember, like, I remember those people that actually came to class real dressed up, and it was like you had this impression that they were taking it super seriously, but then you remember, like, oh wait, none of that actually impacts your ability. Like,
no.
It isn't like. Anyway.
Also, literally no one at Marshall. Like, literally, I never saw anyone at Marshall.
Like,
the only
dress
people
up.
Who did were, like, you always knew in the journalism school at Marshall who was about to anchor MU Report, which was our, like,
yeah.
TV, like, local TV news thing, because they would come dressed up, and that was it. That was it.
Oh, and there was a big, so I went to... Mizzou, and there's a big Greek life community. And if I remember correctly, I feel like that was a thing.
Yeah.
On like a certain day of the week or something, they were supposed to wear ties. I don't remember. Anyway, it's like a thing, but it's not common.
No.
So I will just end by saying, so this article in Vox talks about somebody from The Atlantic, Derek Thompson, spoke to University of Nevada fashion historian Deirdre Clemente, who told him that leggings as pants are not just about the rise of synthetic fibers or the trend of performative wellness culture, but a century-long journey towards a culture of casual. 100 years ago, you would have day clothes for the street, dinner clothes for the restaurant, theater clothes, and so many genres of dress. These barriers have come down. Athleisure is the ultimate breaking down
Uh-oh.
Of the barriers.
Uh-oh. I don't have most of those.
No, but I like it. I like thinking about it that way of like, this is an evolution. Like, this is a, like I mentioned, like a utility of like, we don't need to have specific clothes for particular events in our lives, you know, and that if you are comfortable and if you feel good about the way you look, like that should be acceptable in any environment.
I love that this conversation is taking place at the U.S. House of Representatives right now as well. I don't know if you have followed the news, but they have adopted a more casual dress.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like this sesh.
It seems so antiquated to me. And it's definitely, there's a class thing, there's a race thing, there's a lot of complications of to course. This, like gender, as I mentioned. But it's just to be having these conversations, to be so advanced in so many areas and to still be like, is it okay if women wear this kind of pants?
Yeah.
it's wild. Anyway, super comfortable. I like them. I find them useful. I really never want to wear anything else.
Yeah.
I have tried wearing jeans for an entire day. I can't do it anymore.
No, it hurts the flesh.
I will take a jean. I will bring it into the world as soon as I return. I will take off such jean.
And if it gets wet, forget about it. It was raining this morning. My jeans got a little bit wet. I'm still wearing them and it sucks. And it has sucked the whole day.
Yeah.
And I should just go put some leggings on.
You should. But I don't. I would love to see you in some leggings.
I mean, I have some sleep pants that are
clingy. Yeah.
And they're pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Get a lot of compliments from, I guess, just you. Can I steal you away?
Yeah.
Thanks. We all got needs. And to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself. But then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service.
I keep receiving this huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his apple seeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe 6 things that I had completely forgotten about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep.
And
Rocket Money was like, you're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs. Anyway. Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike, and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie and just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com, and please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, this is Lori Kilmartin.
And I'm Jackie Cation, and we have a podcast called The Jackie and Lori Show on Max Fun, and it's very exciting, because what do we talk about?
Comedy.
Stand-up comedy. We both do stand-up comedy and have since the dawn of Christ.
Well, Jackie.
Is that offensive?
It is offensive to me, because you've aged me. We started in the late 80s, and we're still here. You can't kill us.
So go to the Jackie and Laurie Show on Max Fun and listen to that.
The Jackie and Laurie Show. New episodes Monday, only on MaximumFun.org.
Greatest Trek is the podcast for all your modern Star Trek needs. It's funny, informative, and now it's also timely.
That's because every Friday, right after the release of a new episode of Strange New Worlds, Picard, Lower Decks, Discovery, or Prodigy, we bring you a review of that episode.
There's some great new Star Trek coming up, and we're going to cover all of it.
You'll like our show because we're both former video producers, so we bring a lot of insight into the production and filmmaking aspects to these episodes.
And we also have a very refined sense of humor, so we make lots of delightful fart jokes along the way.
So come see why Greatest Trek is one of the most popular television recap podcasts on all of the internet.
Subscribe to Greatest Trek at MaximumFun.org or in the podcast app you're using right now.
You ready for this?
Is that your topic?
No, I could, though. I could probably improvise that one right off of the dome. No, I'm going to talk about Keepy Uppy.
Oh! When we
are trying to get our two children, who have a four-year age gap between them,
yes,
to be active and play together when it is raining outside.
Yes, this weekend was a real challenge.
Very rainy through the whole weekend. We did some indoor stuff, and that was fine, but we had long stretches. We were just at home trying to get them to be active and entertain each other and play with each other. And if you got a balloon and a big enough open space, baby, here you got keepy uppy possibilities.
Can I ask, did you call it or hear it called that before we saw Bluey?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, so in my house, in my experience, we worship the Lord, and I've only ever played with a balloon. If you Google keepy uppy, you will, of course, get that one episode of Bluey that I believe was like the third episode ever of Bluey was them playing keepy uppy. There's also a keepy uppy Bluey board game, which is a lot of words to have to say back to back like that.
Of course I have played this game. I'm aware of this game. I love this game. I sure don't know that we called it anything.
Just balloons.
Just let's hit a balloon around.
Yeah. Well, if you Google Keepy Uppy, you find Bluey, and then you find a bunch of results about soccer or football, if you will. Because Keepy Uppy, I guess, is a term more commonly used to refer to juggling a soccer ball with just your feet and shoulders and head and chest and legs, anything but the hands. When we play Keepy Uppy balloon style with children, hands is acceptable.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking about Hacky Sack.
Hacky Sack is also a part of this Keepy Uppy tradition. Well, I would count Hacky Sack as Keepy Uppy.
It's interesting how I feel comfortable just calling that Hacky Sack, but I wouldn't ever just say like balloon.
Yeah.
Do you want to play balloon with me?
That's interesting. Do you want to play balloon with me would have been a really strong intro for when we met. I feel like if at the concert we met at, you were like, hey, do you want to balloon with me? I would have definitely said yes and been down for sure. I like soccer ball. Seems really hard. Straight up. That seems too hard for me. I like balloon keepy uppy because you can play with kids and it's accessible. I feel like if you had a room full of children, like at a birthday party or something, and they were all bored and you just tossed a balloon in there and you were just like, keepy uppy, you could run away.
Yeah.
And just be, you're good for like a half hour at least.
Yeah, no, in that moment when they were playing with the balloon, I thought, why do we even buy toys?
Why do we buy toys? Why do we do anything?
Why
but
don't we
keepy
just
uppy?
Have a house full of balloons?
Because they get so into it. All of a sudden, not letting this balloon touch the ground becomes the world's most important.
I know. We really had to talk Henry down for a while because he would get very frustrated with Gus because Gus didn't understand the rules. And then the balloon would fall and Henry would be outraged and would be like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, he's chill about it now.
He has chill.
But also, Gus has gotten better. And Gus has also gotten very intense about this. And I will say, every other thing else on Earth. The soccer ball version of Keepy Uppy has a lot of world records associated with them that I'm going to tell you about because they're absolutely wild. For soccer, Keepy Uppy, the player can use feet, legs, chest, shoulders, and head. The official record for the longest someone kept
Can I guess?
Let me tell you, is by Victor Erickson, who just won the record just earlier this year, June 2023. How long did he keep a soccer ball off the ground?
Not touches? You said 2023. Like, I would be like, okay, well, historically.
No, I just wanted to impress upon you that this is hot off the presses. This is very recent. I'm not talking about number of touches. The duration.
The duration. I mean, touches would be impossible for me to guess. I have no idea on that. But I'm going to say duration. I'm going to say 7 hours.
28 fucking hours.
Whoa.
Victor Erickson did that this past summer for 28 hours. He beat the previous record by 8.5 fucking hours. That's so impressive, Victor.
You know what I'm going to ask, right?
What's that?
How did he
poop and pee?
Yeah.
Probably just didn't. Or he did. And it was bad.
One of the two.
It was bad. He was just like, everyone, please leave the room. Honor system, you can hear me. You can continue to hear me. It's just, I don't want you to see what happens next. Or diaper.
Or diaper.
But even diaper, like, you're doing some stuff in there while keeping a soccer ball up off the ground that I do not think would be helpful. I don't want to think about that anymore. Thank you so much.
I mean, I'm already there.
You're already right there. Another fun wild record. In August 2016, Abraham Munoz ran the entire 26-mile Mexico City Marathon in 5 hours, 41 minutes, and 52 seconds, which is probably faster than I could do it while not playing keepy-uppy. But what Abraham did was play keepy-uppy and keep a ball off the ground for all 26 miles of it, which boggles the mind.
Were other people in that race with them? And like, how
confusing would it
well,
have been?
And like, how would you control? Because I imagine people like aren't paying attention and they're like running right next to
good
you.
Good question.
And you'd have to be like, on your left!
On your left, I'm keeping a soccer ball off the ground. He didn't let the ball hit the ground for all 26 miles. Wild. Not the longest distance covered. In January 2010, Dan Magnus was playing keepy-uppy. He played keepy-uppy for 30 miles, visiting the stadiums of every Premier League team in London in the process, just in a circuit. That's so long a distance to ambulate, let alone kick a soccer ball around. In 2020, Imogene Papworth-Heidel performed 1,123,586 touches over 195 days to raise money for charity. Obviously not in one long stretch, but still, that's a tremendous number of times to make a soccer ball hit your body. So there's obviously a big connection to hacky sack here, which could be played communally, albeit with a much, much smaller ball. Interestingly enough, keepy-uppy has historical roots. In Japan, during the Heian period, court nobles and other members of the aristocratic class played a game called kamari, which is basically hacky sack, like team keepy-uppy, where you only use your feet to juggle a ball, keep a ball in the air. The ball is like soccer ball sized, but it's hacky sack sort of consistency, like it's full of barley. So I imagine it's quite a heavy ball, but they kick it around, and it was considered a very fancy and dignified game that was in fashion for like a wicked long time, really until sumo wrestling became more popular in the Sengoku period. In the 14th century, kamari was like codified into an art form called kamarido, which was taught to like the aristocratic class alongside poetry and like tea ceremonies.
Huh.
So it was like expected for you to be very good at hacky sack, yeah, if you belonged to a certain class during that period of time.
Can I ask you, have you ever been in a situation where you have been asked to hacky sack?
Of course.
What is that experience like for you?
I kick it in the air once and I'm like, hey, I'm pretty good at this. And then my second kick makes it go in some wild direction. And I'm like, I can save this. And then I don't save it.
I think I have never been asked to hacky sack.
You've never like been walking down the quad and like a wayward ball leaves its little druid circle?
I have watched hacky sack. I have tried to hacky sack on my own in the privacy of, you know, my own space. I don't know that I've ever been in a circle,
yeah,
and been like, all right, we're doing this. I think I have avoided it my whole life.
It was a reward you could exchange tickets for at the pub, which was our local arcade. And I would get a hacky sack quite often because it was only like 200 tickets. And you know, I was always fucking rolling in them. And then I would go out with my group of theater friends and be like, hey guys, look what I got, hacky sack. And then I would kick it to someone and it would like hit them in the thigh. And then they'd be like, we're done. And that was pretty much the extent.
That was the thing, is that I always felt like it's kind of like slacklining, in that you see people do it and they seem pretty good at it. And then there's nowhere for a beginner like me to jump in, you know?
That's not true. I bet you could slackline. No problem.
Oh, yeah?
I think you'd be good at it. you can still watch people play Kimari today because during some festivals in the Kansai region, folks get dressed up in costumes like resembling Heian period aristocrats, and they play Kimari at Shinto shrines. And folks gather around to watch them, and it basically just looks like a bunch of fancy bros kicking a big hacky sack around, and it kind of kicks ass to see.
Yeah,
it,
I would be curious about that.
I watched some YouTube videos of it, and it's delightful to watch people in like really ornate regalia playing hacky sack. Yeah. It's very, very good. It's fun to kick a ball around to people. It's fun to keep a balloon off the ground with children and have them hit it back to you in turn. And I love how many cultures across human civilizations have realized that. It is what I love about like games, particularly sort of folk games, which I guess you could lump this into that category of just like independently so many people realize like, hey, it's actually pretty fun to do this thing.
Yeah.
And then it just has all these different forms across, you know, all of civilization.
We thought for sure, because the two things that are able to unite our children of very differing age is the balloon and also the trampoline.
Yeah.
So we thought, we'll bring a balloon out to the trampoline. And it floated away so many times, just constantly.
Hey, you want to know what our friends at home are talking about?
Yes.
Here's a message from Alex who says, bouldering is my new favorite sport to watch. It's athleticism meets puzzles multiplied by the tension of plummeting back to earth at any moment. Plus, all the competitions are free on YouTube. I actually have a couple of friends who are like very into bouldering, and it is a wild scene.
Yeah.
It is a wild scene to see people like put a rock on the ground the size of a paperweight, and then they're like, check this shit out. And then they just like go up on it on like four fingers to just showcase their tremendous digital strength.
Yeah, I remember when we were in Austin, there was like a rock climbing gym and then like a bouldering gym. And it was like very clear, these are different skills, these are different communities with like different challenges. And it's kind of fascinating to me to think about, like, these seem like they'd be the same thing, but they are very much not.
I also don't know anyone who's kind of into bouldering.
It's true. It's true.
Seems like an all or nothing sort of sport, which I guess, you know, I watched Free Solo. I get it.
Yeah, right? Just in the same way that I'd be good at slacklining, you'd probably be good at bouldering.
We went to a rock climbing place that was mostly for kids, but I did pretty good at it. Mia says, my small wonder is the Big Brother season 25. It's been a chaotic, wilding season with great players and a guest player, Ceree Fields from Survivor. It's been a great way to get through my year, and I've been sharing it with my partner.
Yeah.
Your parents are very big.
They do, and my dad did make a point to tell me that Ceree was on it.
All right.
Which, like, if anything was going to entice me, that would be it.
Yeah.
But no, we still haven't watched
it. We're not. I think it's – I worry that if we put one more big reality franchise on our plate, the whole thing's going to fucking topple over.
True.
Did love Ceree in Traitors. Can't wait for season two.
Yeah,
it's gonna be hot shit. Who did you tell me was on it? They just announced the cast for Traitors season
two. Sandra.
Oh,
it's gonna be on it, which I think will be interesting.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you so much to Bowen and Augustus for the use for our theme song Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. Thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great shows that they have there, like Stop Podcasting Yourself and The Flophouse. And so many more over at MaximumFun.org. We have other stuff over at McElroy.family. We have links to shows that we're doing in Philly and New York next month. We've got new merch over at McElroyMerch.com. Going to add some more there as soon as October rolls around, which will be in just a few days. So check back there for that. And we have a YouTube channel, the McElroy Family, where we're doing streams all the time. And
you guys, you guys have like, you know, the
you'll get there.
The TikTok.
Wow! Wow! I don't. We're not going to say anything better than what just happened. So let's just stop there.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.